very solemn, very special, happy Christmas, thanks people. We would like to thank the organisers. We would like to thank they are very, very gracious, very generous, very warm-hearted hosts. Anil, Kieran, Anwar, and family. We can have a round of applause for the audience. For leaving their home and their hearts to all of us in this program. So we are very, very grateful. Thank you. Just a quick run for the evening, of course. Tonight, of course, is all about the very special guest that Sam for me here, on the very unique of the unique gift of Lord Chaitanya. So both Islamic Shah Swami and Islamic Shivram Swami will be addressing us on that topic in a moment. And then we have a little surprise for you after the talk. I won't give it away, but it's a really wonderful, very inspiring video that we'll be showing you after the talk. We are hoping to have a little time to be with us also after after having us to speak. And of course, we'll also have the opportunity to meet and to look in some depth and all which ones are. It's very exciting. I have, unfortunately, the daunting task of introducing our two very, very special guests. And really, these two individuals who are very special, senior leaders of the movement who don't really require introduction. Of course, for those who are very new, I'll say a few words. We have His Holiness Shiva Swami here, who is a very senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj is based out of Ujjain, India, where he founded and established a most glorious and beautiful temple. And Maharaj also travels around the world to inspire thousands of devotees around the world. So we're very grateful that he has come. And actually, Maharaj was also one of the original spiritual mentors of the original public center of the youth group. And he continues to be so we are always very grateful for his time, his association. He has an incredibly busy schedule, and that is some time to spend with us, to inspire us, and to hopefully give us instructions that can be further throughout our lives. Thank you very much, a very warm welcome. Thank you very much for being here. I realise that we are in slightly older age, so slightly jaded versions of the Pandavas Centers. So, but you know, in the spirit of Pandavas Centers, we'd like to welcome the show starting with three very loud Hari Bols. We have His Holiness Shivram Swami, also a very senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj is based out of Hungary, where he founded a most glorious farm community that is growing, expanding, and receiving visitations from people around the world. Maharaj also, in fact, during the days of the creation of the Pandavas Youth Group, Maharaj was very, very instrumental in inspiring one of the leaders of the Pandavas Group during his days at UBC of the UK. And Maharaj again continues to work very closely and offers association and his very valuable advice to currently his other future leaders of Pandavas Center. So we are also very, very grateful that he has taken his time out from his very good business schedule to be here today with us. And again, if you could please very loud, very well, so it's all this shoot out something. So, as I mentioned, the topic is the unique gift, which is a very sweet topic. And we'd be very grateful if you could share a few pearls of wisdom on this topic. Thank you very much.
Put the mic there.
Yes.
Trustfully come to
şey sanmak olur. Tanrı şeyleri biraz daha şöyle doğru. 530 years ago. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took birth, and at that time, it had been a long, long time since Krishna had appeared. That was almost 5,000 years ago. So more or less, the essence of Krishna's teachings had been very, very much lost, or at best corrupted. And because what was Krishna's purpose in appearing? Krishna appeared to attract us to go back to the spiritual world. Krishna revealed his pastimes on earth, especially in Vrindavan, and also in Dwarka, to show us what takes place in celestial Vrindavan and celestial Dwarka. But he gave the instruction that, well, if you want to get there, then you have to start off with Sarva-dhamma-pratyaksha. You have to start off by surrendering everything. And of course, that's a tall order, but that was Krishna's request. And then when one becomes saranagati, when one becomes surrendered to Krishna, then one begins to practice the process of bhakti yoga, or devotional service, as Krishna repeatedly emphasizes in Bhagavad Gita. Bhaktya mamam janami. So Krishna explains this: if you want to know me, tattvataha, in truth, then you have to engage in devotional services, which is a great science, and it was that science of devotional service that Srila Prabhupada introduced to the world, to the Western world, all over the world, in a very simple, pragmatic, very, very easy to apply way. But people had forgotten. They'd forgotten the practice of bhakti. They forgot actually even Krishna's identity. Is Krishna a demigod, or is Krishna just an incarnation of Vishnu, instead of recognizing that Krishna is Krishna Bhagavan Swayam, Swayam Bhagavan, he's the original form of all other forms of Godhead. So that same Krishna Varna, Varna also means category. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the same category as Krishna, in other words, he's also Swayam Bhagavan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, and what was difficult for people to do or to apply in terms of Krishna's teachings, then he made very easy. Vishayacharya, Seva Simandhya, Mukhe Vohari. He says, all right, we just at least stop engaging in gross sinful activities, chant Hare Krishna, take prasadam, dance. Pretty simple. And you can't get any simpler than that. So, Srila Prabhupada sometimes said, even this is difficult for you. So, but that's as simple as it gets. Everyone likes to sing and dance and enjoy themselves and eat nice food. So this is what people nowadays call entertainment. So entertainment with a transcendental perspective, and that becomes a form of self-realization or liberation. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's most general gift that we can say, which appears to be very simple, but it's actually very, very deep. It actually brings us and gives us the opportunity to access the deepest stages of perfection, which are even not known to great Vaishnavas, even associates of Lord Krishna, or residents of Vaikuntha, or Hanumanji and followers of Lord Ramachandra. But by chanting Hare Krishna, and by chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then actually that perfection naturally comes in a way that a seed looks very innocuous. Doesn't seem like you get much out of a seed. But if you plant the seed, and if you water it nicely, and Lord Chaitanya also says, Mali Honasevhi Jero Pran Shravan Kirtan
But if you plant the seed of faith in Lord Chaitanya's teachings, and you water it nicely with the chanting of Hare Krishna, then out of the seed you get a creeper, creeper becomes a tree, the tree becomes has beautiful flowers, fruits. None of these things are actually visible in the seed. It just looks like a little dry thing. But everything comes out by the proper watering process. So similarly, by the proper watering process of what Srila Prabhupada termed as Krishna consciousness, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavatamati, this science of deep faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, if we chant that Krishna in the way that Lord Chaitanya gave, then ultimately all of these wonderful fruits, which Rupa Goswami, Lord Chaitanya's foremost follower, pointed out, these fruits of this chanting, Krishna prema pradayate, is love for Krishna. And with love for Krishna, then one becomes very, very wealthy. In fact, with love for Krishna, one becomes so wealthy that Krishna becomes like with Arjuna. Because of Arjuna's great love for Krishna, Krishna was willing to drive Arjuna's chariot. So he became a chariot driver. Which is not really the business, God's business. It was actually the business of Shukra. Shukra showed chariots. Just in very exceptional cases that Shava also became a chariot driver. But Krishna took that role. Why? Because Krishna becomes purchased by love. And this very deep science of how to awaken love for Krishna, how to awaken love for God, and how to engage in loving interaction with God. This all becomes possible by chanting. So Prabhupada brought this chanting over the world. He made it accessible to everyone. We chant, as we're chanting before, with instruments. We chant on our beads. We chant without anything, just chanting in our minds. But if we perfect this process of chanting, which is in itself a process, it's not happens just by repeating the words once, but it requires some expertise, and ultimately that result comes. And we have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to thank for that. And Bhakti Chu Maharaj will continue. What happens after you chant Hare Krishna?
But this is a very good time, Maharaj, to ask each other questions.
Maybe first Maharaj will continue. And then.
Om Agyanati Nirandasya Gyanan Jarana Shadavaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Shri Chaitanya Manu Vishnam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karanam Dadati Swapadam Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vrishnaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shrimadvani Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Krishna. First of all, I want to mention that Srila Maharaj just 3 days ago had an operation and still he decided he wanted to meet you all. And I also requested that it would be wonderful that if two of us are here. And thank you so much, Maharaj. Maharaj so wonderfully explained that how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance has been predicted in the scriptures. That is a way to recognize the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavan, how do we recognize the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The way to recognize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his appearance is mentioned, is predicted in the scriptures. That's one way. And Maharaj mentioned from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, one of the Navajogendras, Bhagavajana Muni, he mentioned different incarnations of different yugas. And for Kali Yuga, he predicted. Now mind you, this happened long time ago. Like it has been recorded 5,000 years ago by Vasudeva, but it actually happened well before Vasudeva. And he mentioned how the Supreme Personality of Godhead would appear in the age of Kali. As Maharaj pointed out, what will be the symptom? Krishna Varnam, Isha, or Krishna? Krishna's complexion, as we know, is like the monsoon cloud. But sometimes Krishna's complexion has been described as Ujjala Nilamani, the bright, brilliant sapphire, the color of the sapphire. And that is what Krishna's complexion. But this time, in Kali Yuga, Krishna will appear as Akrishna. Like he will appear in a complexion which is not dark like blue sapphire. And then Maharaj pointed out how he would appear. He would appear with his associates. And what he will do? He will jagvai sankirtanam kari. He will establish a very special kind of jagya. There are various types of yogas predicted or instructed in the scriptures, Agnishan Yoga and Havini Yoga, etc. But he will establish Sankirtan Yoga, a very special type of yoga to please the Supreme. The purpose of yoga is to please the Supreme Personality. So the purpose of his appearance will be to establish the Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the Lord. And he would give the holy name of the Lord. Like, that was very rare. This Hare Krishna Mahamantra was very rare. Others have different types of mantras. There are many, many types of Gayatri mantras. They are known as mantras. But Maha Mantra, the greatest of all mantras. And Maharaj pointed out that this mantra, he compared it to a seed. The entire tree is in that seed. Although it looks so tiny, it has no resemblance to the tree. But in that seed, the entire tree is there. It falls on the ground, it sprouts into a seedling, then it gradually grows, and then we find leaves come, becomes big tree, then comes flowers, and eventually the fruits. So the fruit is Krishna. So thank you so much, Maharaj, for so succinctly, so wonderfully making the most important point. Why we are chanting the holy name? Because everything is there, and entire spiritual sky is there. And although it is a mantra, only chanting of the sound, but in that sound, Krishna's form is there, Roop. From the Naam, Krishna's rule, Krishna's form will become manifest. Then Krishna's qualities will become manifest. Guna, Krishna's leela, pastimes, Krishna's parikar, Krishna's associates, and Krishna's dham, the entire spiritual sky. So everything is there for you. And this holy name is actually not given to others. In the Vedic process, it was a gradual meditation of gradually, Vedas are giving different processes. The Karma Kanda section of the Vedas, then Jnana Kanda section of the Vedas, and then comes devotion and service. The Karma Kanda section, actually, that's the wonderful thing about the Vedas. Vedas have been compared to a desire tree. Normal trees offer fruits, but and specific type of fruits, like mango tree will just give mangoes. Apple trees will give apples. But this unique tree, desire tree, can give you anything that you want. So whatever you want, you can approach the Vedas and you will get it. Whatever you desire, you will get. Therefore it is called desire tree or kalpa vriksha. Nigama kalpa taru. Vedas have been compared. Nigama is a desire tree. So Vedas, in the Karma Kanda section of the Vedas, Vedas is giving the direction. Okay, you want to enjoy? Go ahead. What do you want? You want a lot of money? Okay, perform these acts, these activities or sacrifice. You'll become very rich. You want to become a king? Okay, perform these activities. Even if you're not satisfied being a king, you want to be a monarch? Okay. Good. This is the way to become a monarch. You are not satisfied being a monarch, you want to become the king of the sovereign king of the entire earth planet? Fine. Okay, you are not still satisfied? You want to become the king of the heavenly planet? Fine. So this is how the Vedas are offering the opportunities to fulfill any desire that one has. But after fulfilling all desires, what actually happens? You are trying to enjoy the material nature and you are enjoying all your desires are fulfilled. Whatever you wanted, you got. But are you happy? No. In spite of fulfilling all our desires, we come to realize that we are trying to enjoy in so many ways, but still I'm suffering. I want to enjoy, I do not want suffering, but suffering is coming without even asking for it. Why? So then that actually leads one to the next aspect of the Vedas called Jnana Kanda section. Like why I am suffering. And that leads to the simple understanding that this material nature is a place of suffering. Dukkhalayam ashvashatam. This is the place of suffering, and if there is some happiness, that happiness is going to be short lasting. Then the consideration is, then what is this material nature? In this way, gradually Vedas are taking step by step to different branches of philosophies of understanding, and this actually brings us to the point of Sankha philosophy. Sankha analyzes the material nature, the analytical study. And the analysis is, this material nature is composed of five elements. Earth, water, fire, air, and we have five senses. These senses interact with the elements, and as a result of that, the objects of senses become manifest. And for example, ears interact with ether, sound is produced. Skin interacts with air, touch is produced. Eyes interact with fire, form is produced. Tongue interacts with water, taste is produced. And nose interacts with earth, and smell is produced. In this way, due to the interaction between the senses and the elements of material nature, five objects of the senses are produced. Then we consider that there are five working senses. Hands, speech, anus, belly, and genitals. 20. 4, 5, 20. Then we consider there are three subtle elements. Mind, intelligence, and falsity. According to the Vedic understanding, mind is a material substance. Subtle. Intelligence, material substance. Falsity. 23. Then we consider that the sum total of the elementary three material creation called Mahatattva. Like with this 24 consideration, Sankara actually analyzes the entire material nature. But then they consider that they are of objective, they are objective in nature. But the object cannot exist without the subject. Object's existence is relative to the subject. So who is the subject? I am the subject. All of us have our eyes, that is the subject. So that eye is the soul. So the entire material creation has been analyzed through this 24 consideration, but this I or Atma couldn't be found there. Therefore, I or Atma is beyond this 24 consideration. It's the 25th consideration which is beyond nature. And these Atmas are minute and many, therefore it must have a source of origin, so that is the Param Atma or Supreme Soul or the Supreme Personality of God. So this way, through Sankha, one is coming to understand of another reality beyond this material nature, the spiritual. Although Sankha very elaborately deals with it, but Krishna actually explained this point in just two verses in Bhagavad Gita. Bhumi apo anado vayu kham manu buddhi revacha ahankara vidyam me bhinna prakriti ashtada. This separated energy of mind, this material nature, is composed of eight elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and all. But then Krishna says, aparyamitasana, this nature is inferior. And beyond this inferior nature, prakriti vidhime param, there is a superior nature of mind, and jiva bhutan mahabaho jaje gandhar. The living entities, jiva bhutas, we, the living entities, have come from the spiritual world. And we are sustaining this material nature. Jajinam Dharajati. So, the point is, here, through Sankha, they are coming to understand the existence of the soul and the Supreme Personality of God, who is beyond the spiritual nature. Then the consideration is that the purpose of the part's existence lies in its connection to the whole. For example, this little finger of mine is a part of my body. As long as this finger is connected to this body, this finger is very important. When the finger is cut off from the body, then it doesn't have any value. So the real purpose of our existence lies in our connection with the Supreme Personality. So that actually takes us to the next branch of philosophy called yoga. Yoga, connection, how to become connected to the Supreme Personality. And through this process of yoga, one ultimately perceives the Lord in the heart, in his samadhi. And when the Supreme Personality of Godhead is seen in the core of the heart, what is the natural tendency of the living? Jivatma is minute, and when he is seeing the Supreme Paramatma, then automatically his head bends down with respect. And that surrender is called Sharanagati. Sri Rama Maharaj pointed that out. Sharanagati, surrender. The surrender is the beginning of devotional service. So this way we can see what this devotional service, bhakti, is. The highest achievement of the spiritual endeavor. Through karma kanda, jnana kanda, we are coming to the point of bhakti, which is based on Now the thing is, in other ages one had to gradually come to the point of surrender and develop his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then he was able to chant his holy name after understanding his relationship with him. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna, coming in this age, has Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu given to us directly. In this respect, Prabhupada actually made the point that in order to become a PhD, you have to go through school, college, university, and then you get a PhD. But sometimes PhD is awarded directly to somebody. So that's what happened to us. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has directly given us the highest spiritual achievement. So that is the advantage of this age of Kali. Kaler Doshi Nidhe Rajan. Maharaj also pointed that this age of Kali is extremely degraded, full of sinful activity. But Asti Yeka Mahan Guna, this age of Kali is a great guna, great advantage. And what is that? Kirtana Deva Krishna Sir. Although this age is extremely degraded, extremely fallen, extremely miserable, but it has one great advantage. Just by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one achieves the highest spiritual perfection. Now tell me, what does it take to chant the name? In other ages, if one wanted to make spiritual progress, what was the first thing he had to do? Leave home. Go to the forest, or go to the Himalayas, and make such arduous endeavor to make spiritual advance. And through all these processes, meditation, yoga, etc. But in this age, did anyone of you had to leave home to practice spiritual life? We had to leave Parashikha Maharaja because at home we couldn't practice the life. And another thing, in those days, I mean, the standard was if you became a devotee, you had to move into the temple. That was our standard. Those who lived away from the temple, there was something else. We had specific names for them, and I don't want to mention that. But you all didn't have to leave home. You all are. Now, are you practicing spiritual life? How many of you think that you're practicing a spiritual life? Please raise your hand. Okay, how many of you are chanting the Holy Name of God? Why are you chanting? For spiritual purpose or material purpose?
Both.
Then why didn't you raise your hands? Okay, are you practicing? How many of you are practicing Shri Yukshvara? That's right. Now, in order to do that, did you have to leave home? No. You're staying at home, you're doing whatever you're expected to do, and you're practicing spiritual life. And this is the benefit, this is the advantage of this age. But you know the reward or the result of this activity, what did you gain? You'll achieve the highest spiritual perfection. And that is the advantage for this age. In that respect, we can also consider like in Srimad Bhagavatam, has been described that when Parikshit Maharaj saw Pali, Pali Yuga is not only an age, this age is dominated by a personality. Pali is a personality. He even has a father and mother. You know who is Pali's father and mother? Pali's father and mother are envy and anger. And you know who is Kali? Kali is quarrel. So consider how the quarrel starts. Through envy and anger. And the product is quarrel or Kali. And this is the age of Kali. So this personality is dominating over this age. And Parikshit Maharaj encountered in his soul that, and what he was doing, he was torturing the bull and the cow. Who is that bull? The bull is the dharma. And who is the cow? The cow is Mother Earth. So while he was torturing him, he's a sudra dressed as a king. So seeing him, Parikshit Maharaj, seeing him in that act, he immediately unseals his soul and he was about to kill. Kali paid for his life. And Parikshit Maharaj gave him 4 places to stay. Now first he banished him. He said, you can't stay in my kingdom. So Kali said, this is entire world belongs to you. So if you banish me, then where shall I go? So then, Parikshit Maharaj said, okay, you can stay in 4 places. Wherever meat eating goes on, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. Kali looked around and he saw that in his entire kingdom, no one indulges in these 4 sinful activities. So he said, where should I go? No one indulges in these activities. Then Parikshit Maharaj gave him the bowl as the 5th place to stay. Now the first question here is, why didn't Parikshit Maharaj kill Kali? Of course, it's his Kshatriya nature. Kshatriyas are so noble that when someone begs for his life, no matter whoever he is, he'll take it. So that's one reason why he spared Kali's life. But then the consideration is that Parikshit Maharaj also saw that although this age is extremely degraded due to the influence of Kali, but it has a great advantage. So he considered that great advantage and he allowed Kali to live. And that advantage is by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one will achieve the highest spiritual purpose. And in order to distribute that, Krishna came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as you all know. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted that this Krishna consciousness movement would spread in every town and village. Every town and village. Now, apparently it's an impossible prediction. How such movements, say some Indian spiritual culture, can spread all over the world in every town and village. But who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And can the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead go in vain? Whatever he says is bound to happen. And although it was an impossible prediction, then eventually we saw how Srila Prabhupada came. And he spread Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. He spread it all over the world in an amazing way. We were just 10 years time. I mean, this is the most wonderful happening in this world. This is the greatest miracle that has happened in this world. At the age of 70, Prabhupada goes to America without any money. Even he did not have any knowledge where he was going to stay. Fortunately, his only acquaintance in America sent somebody to pick him up from the port in New York and took him to the place where he was staying in a remote Pennsylvania, in the remote part of Pennsylvania, in a place called small little town called Butler. But Prabhupada didn't come to stay in Butler. Prabhupada went to New York. And then Prabhupada started this movement. At the age of 70, he starts his movement without any resources, without any security, without any patronage, without any support. But then, within a short span of 10 years' time, this movement spread all over the world. Of course, the wonderful thing is, the wonderful young individual like Srila Maharaj came forward to assist Srila Prabhupada. This American youth came forward to help Srila Prabhupada. And they actually took this movement and spread it over. Prabhupada inspired them. Prabhupada gave them the vision. And Prabhupada facilitated them with whatever support they needed. And these youth of America went and spread this movement all over the world. Now it is spread all over the world, but what is the goal? What is the ultimate accomplishment? Every town and village. Now how will it happen? The youth of America came and supported Srila Prabhupada, and that's why it spread all over the world. Now you are youth. Do you think you all have some responsibility? We all are old. Old people cannot achieve very much. But it's the youth that make things happen. But you all have to take up that responsibility. You all have to motivate other young people. And like, always remember, in this respect I can tell you one thing. During one of my first encounters with Srila Prabhupada, early encounters with Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada just told me, offer this life to Krishna. Just offer this life to Krishna. For many, many lifetimes you have been trying to enjoy and you can see that you are still not satisfied. And then Prabhupada extensively spoke to me about what it meant, how to offer the life to Krishna. And finally Prabhupada told me that after all, even if nothing happens, what's the loss? After all, it's just one life out of so many. So we can easily stake that. We can easily stake that chance. Just offer one life to Krishna and see what happens. So you all are the future. The youth are the future of this world. The world is in a very critical condition. And Krishna consciousness is the only solution to all the problems that we have. Therefore, we all have to work together to try to push this movement forward. In whichever way you can, just contribute. Drops of water fill up the ocean. Just try your best. Whatever your ability is, try to spread this movement. In this respect, Prabhupada also gave an example that there are different types of birds. The sparrows fly around the courtyard. Some other birds fly further distance. somebody's life from one country to another, one continent to another, one planet to another. They're birds. So according to, just as the birds fly according to their ability, one can spread Krishna consciousness according to his or her ability. It doesn't matter how much you can do, but do something. Jare rakho tare kaho Krishna. Whoever you meet, whoever you see, just instruct him about Krishna. And Amar Agai Guru Vaya Tarvai Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instruction. I am giving you the order. In my order, you have become a spiritual master. Just but whoever preaches is a spiritual master. It is not that in order to be a spiritual master, you have to be a big personality in this form and so forth. No. Whoever preaches the scripture, or if you take them out, Amara Dhan Guru. Who is the Guru? Jare Rakutani Kaur Krishna. So please make the point to spread this message. If you can at least preach to one person, go ahead and preach. If you can make one person into a devotee, please go ahead and do that. And you will see while you are doing that, what is the extent of your ability. As if you are a sparrow, fly around the courtyard. But if you are a Garuda, then fly from one hand to another. Thank you all very much. All glory to Shiva.
His Honor Sankrishna Swami Maharaj Ki. His Honor Shivam Swami Maharaj Ki. Thank you very much for sharing a very unique and powerful insight into this topic. Thank you. Very grateful. This is actually very rare that we finish the talk early than scheduled. This means that we have the opportunity to ask the Holinesses some questions. So I have a mobile mic here, which I will hang around. We have about 20 minutes of Q&A. I'm sure there are questions people would like to ask. So please, go by some. Of course.
Thank you, Maharaj, for coming. It's amazing the lecture, spontaneously, how both of you spoke. And it's really, really wonderful. Heartfelt, the youngsters are here to hear from you. One of the idea, as you said, the make Krishna consciousness or devotee, one of the things which we have been working on with Nitesh, we have seen that the how can we are in Britain, and how can we integrate in Britain, wherever we live, and we become part of the rest of the people, or part of their society, whether we are doctors, whether we are lawyers, whether we are businessmen, and we have to be identified, we have to make our presence felt, that I must confess, when I came from India, my daughter, she was about 10 years old or 9 years old. She got a very good admission in very good school, very British school. And then in two months' time, she felt that she was a little bit discriminated. And she lived in India, she'd been always been very good drinker, very good sports. And she says, I feel a little different here. And I told her, Priya, if you want to be in this country, we have to be better than others. If you do 20-25% better than others, there is no question, people will not love you, will not recognize you. And that's what she did. And in within 6-8 months' time, she was darling of everybody. Everybody was talking to her. So one of the things which we have been thinking this session, we just thought, I don't like to show this movie, but people like you, such important people, but Nidesh has decided to show this movie for 10-15 minutes. But to encourage, like a small example, we have students of the best of universities are here, how they build a career. One of the things we have very successful is the Govinda restaurant. And it's a small restaurant and it's a nice, and we see the, we have, it's been very, very popular in Oxford Street. So can we expand that? Can we have a small restaurant? It can be 10 to 15 restaurants in London City, or can be more. And then the today's fashion is a boutique. We have seen in Soho, people are coming to buy the scarf, some of the... So how can we make it more fashionable? So people buy from the boutique, some of the shop. So these are the entrepreneurial ideas. Apart from that, whatever they want to do, that's fine. But we thought this is the one thing which will encourage people. Nitesh has done wonderful. I'm finishing because Nitesh is doing wonderful things, starting this Krishnamurti school, and very well recognized in the British government. And they are asking him to build another school, big school. And we are looking around that how our youngster youth can participate and can do better. But quality should be high class. The time has come where we have to raise our standard. So I'd like to have your comment. Anything you can say on this?
Thank you, Anya. It's also been my concern that the Bhaktisri Maharaj mentioned when we, when Krishna consciousness first began, it began in a certain cultural milieu, which was called the hippie era, in which one of the mantras was that anything goes. And we also lived in extremely renounced ways, and the only possession I had when I lived in a temple was a toothbrush. No one had their own kirtha, dhoti, nothing. Everything was communal. You threw it in the bucket at night, and in the morning in the laundry you pulled out whatever was there, whatever the size was. One size fit all, where it didn't fit. And that's how we lived. And of course, Srila Prabhupada was aware of that. But as a consequence of that, that isn't what Krishna consciousness ultimately is about. Renunciation is one thing. But at the same time, Krishna is the utmost imperfection. And what we do, the way we live, our temples, our restaurants, our businesses, everything should actually reflect the topmost perfection. And there is a sort of a problem with the Krishna consciousness movement of getting out of mediocrity and getting into quality. Because somehow or another that, now that's 50 years back, 40 years back that was going on, that type of transient introductory lifestyle is sometimes being the way of lifestyle, but that is Krishna consciousness. But that is not Krishna consciousness. For instance, when you see videos of Srila Prabhupada, and you see how Srila Prabhupada drinks water, like an aristocrat. He doesn't drink water just in any ordinary way. And Krishna consciousness is really an aristocratic religion, aristocratic way of life. And it should be able to be presented in the highest and the finest way, which means the cleanest, the nicest, most organized, competing on the highest level of anything that exists. in the material world, because especially now as time goes on, the material quality of things that are presented, the way things are presented, is very, very high class. And if we want a certain level of acceptance, there'll be the people who are very spiritually inquisitive and they'll be able to see through anything. But for the most part, people should be able to see, well, if this is such a good philosophy, such a good religion, then why can't they do things in a materially efficient and very effective way? And so I would welcome to see more and more of that, especially in the UK.
Thank you, Raj. Thank you, Adipai. My first perception or feeling actually was that when you want something, it's going to happen. When you want it, that there should be so many restaurants and all, I'm sure it's going to happen. And I know when you set up something, it's going to be first class. And it is so wonderful that you were actually thinking that way, and that was actually Prabhupada's standard. Prabhupada wanted to do things in a first-class way. And in the initial stage, how it happened, what was happening, is not really important. In that respect, you know, we can consider that when you start building a palace, how does the construction site look like? But as the construction comes up, you know, its beauty and its uniqueness begin to become manifest. And that will happen. That will happen in ISKCON. And it's a very noble idea that you have. It's a wonderful idea. And all I can say is, if I can help in any way, please, I'll try my best to help. And I will request all of you, please get involved in these kind of activities that's going to promote Krishna consciousness. In this respect, I'll just cite one incident. One day, one very important person came to see Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan. His name is Jayadayal Dalmian. He was the head of the Dalmian group, father of the Dalmian group. And he had a lot of respect for Srila Prabhupada. He came to see Srila Prabhupada with his three daughters-in-law and a few grandchildren. At that time, Prabhupada just set up the Gurukul in Vrindavan, the building. The Gurukul was there, the new building was built. And Prabhupada was telling Mr. Dalmian to send his grandchildren to the Gurukul. And he mentioned that the modern education system actually is a sutra education system. Meaning, this education system is preparing one for getting a job. But Prabhupada pointed out that your grandchildren don't need any job. Your grandchildren need to become leaders of the society. And in order to lead the society, they should know what they should do. Where to lead? I mean, if the leaders doesn't know, if the leaders don't know where to lead, how can they lead? And that is the problem in today's world. They are becoming leaders, but they don't really know where to lead. Therefore, it is very important that those who know where to lead, they take up the leadership position. And I will request you, in order to support and promote projects like this, if you have to quit your job, do it. Because job means, you know what job means. Is job like we know our four partners, right? Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Now those who are taking job, they fall into which category? Yes.
But the leaders of Brahmana, Prabhupada actually mentioned that he created ISKCON to produce Brahmanas all over the world. The highest class of man who are going to lead the society. And also remember that just earning money is not the goal of life. Money cannot buy everything. What actually is the purpose of our living, purpose of our existence, is to achieve something wonderful. And what can be greater than saving all the world from all the problems that it is facing today? And any intelligent man can see that these political leaders and other social leaders, and they're not going to be able to solve the problems of the world. But the teachings of the Vedas, teachings of Srila Prabhupada, can solve the problems of the world. Whoever takes to Krishna consciousness sees that his problems have been solved. How many of you have accepted Krishna consciousness? And ever since you have done that, did the quality of your life improve? Now, how many of you think that the quality of your life has improved? And those who have accepted Krishna consciousness, do you feel that the problems have been solved? So now, individually, if something is effective, and if we apply that same principle in a bigger area, will it produce the same result? Like if the whole world becomes Krishna conscious, will the world have any problem? And Prabhupada in that respect point made one point, very, very wonderful, just one line. Prabhupada said, the biggest problem of this world is that people do not want to accept the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the real problem, because they are not accepting the authority of Krishna, therefore the world is in such a mess. So, if that is the problem, what is the solution? Make everybody recognize that surrendering to Krishna is the ultimate goal of life. So let us try to achieve that mission, achieve that goal. And it's very nice of that you are inspiring the devotees to take up this kind of project. And I'm sure many of them will come forward and help you to achieve that goal. And Prabhupada will be so pleased that you are trying to help this mission in such a wonderful way. Thank you.
Any other question?
Thank you very much. We have time for one more short question.
Thank you so much for your inspirational talks today. I just wanted to hear a little more on what it means to surrender in this day and age. I understand that it's not the same as renunciation. Surrender and renunciation are kind of quite far apart, and especially in this day and age, this is not the recipe for everybody to surrender, to renounce. So, could you please just say a little bit more on what it means to surrender?
Yes, Krishna says that the perfection can be achieved by everyone acting according to the prescribed duty. So we have two prescribed duties that defer the fear. Of course, there are many, but in principle, one is to become Krishna conscious ourselves. And the other is to help other people also to become Krishna conscious. So whatever it requires, according to time, place, and circumstance, for us to be Krishna conscious, accepting those things, some of which may be difficult, that's called surrender. And it may vary from person to person. And the other is what it takes to give other people Krishna consciousness, which has even sometimes more challenges accompanying with it. That's also surrender. So we're surrendering to both the practice of Krishna consciousness and the of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's stated that apate apani achari koi apachari. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu practiced and spread Krishna consciousness. And we will naturally see that under the guidance of Senior Vaishnava, Spiritual Master, we will get certain instructions, accepting those instructions that facilitate those two activities will really constitute surrender.
Maybe I can answer the second question. So there was another question there.
Yes, in fact, my very merciful boss has informed me that you have a long time trouble, so thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much for the talk. I was just one of the points that both of you were mentioning is the power of the Maha Mantra and how it can take you to the Supreme Perfection, which is what we look to achieve by chanting it daily. One thing is, I know Sri Prabhupada has done very well to spread this across the world, and there's so many locations who are not aware of either they've never heard the Maha Mantra, they don't know the power of it, but internally, maybe from birth or from their previous karma, they have that drive to want to attain spiritual perfection, and they may be doing activities to get there, but they haven't come across the Maha Mantra. Is there still a way for them, without knowing the mantra, but having that internal bliss and renunciation and surrender, to go back to Godhead, to Balaka Vrindavan, without the Maha Mantra?
Well, to achieve something, you have to follow certain process, right? Like, for example, if you want to go to America, then you have to follow certain means and accept certain means to achieve that goal. As you said, like, is the objective, I mean, the way, I mean, how can one go back to the spiritual world, the Guru Vrindavan? The process of going to Guru Vrindavan is the Kshetra of the Holy One. For example, there are various mantras. The perfection of meditating on those mantras can take you to Vaikuntha. But they can't take you to Vaikuntha. So, the only way, the only means to reach the goal of Vrindavan is the process in Sankirtan. Like in Vedam Bhagavatam, which has been described, the Sankirtan, what does it mean? Chant, calling out to the Lord with all the love of your heart. That is what is going to qualify us to reach Him in Guru Vrindavan. And that is the meaning of chanting the holy name of the Lord. Right? Now, as you say, like, you know, one may experience some inner peace and joy, etc., etc. Without proper direction, one cannot possibly understand what the destination is. Just experiencing some inner joy or satisfaction is not everything. Going to Guru Vrindavan, the experience of going to Guru Vrindavan is beyond any material experience. We cannot even imagine. The way it has been described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like being submerged in an ocean of joy. Now, what does it mean? In order to experience, or rather the highest form of material joy, material enjoyment, is only the perverted reflection of the fraction of that spiritual existence. The highest form of material experience of enjoyment is just a perverted reflection of a minute insignificant fraction of the spiritual joy. Now you try to imagine what it means to be submerged in an ocean of spiritual joy. You can't even imagine what it is like. And that achievement will be achieved only by the process of sankirtan. That is the means. There are two kinds of bhakti. The devotions who are following the rules and regulations of the scriptures. Mind you, here, you have to follow this process bhakti to achieve the spiritual goal. And the following the rules and regulations, the bhakti that is executed, that means that will take us to Vaikuntha, the spiritual world, the region of Vaikuntha. But beyond Vaikuntha is Vrindavan. And that access to Vrindavan will be available only by developing unalloyed love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that love will be achieved just by chanting the name of the Lord, addressing the name of the Lord, calling out to the Lord with all the love of our hearts. Does it answer the question? So what do you have to do?
Keep on chanting.
Yes, keep on chanting the Lord. Thank you very, very much for your questions and for the fun classes.
Amazing.
We please offer three very loud prayer balls for Pastor Joe Swami and Shivana Swami. Again, on behalf of everyone here, we're incredibly grateful for your association. And one of you is something else, and both of you together is my learning. So, very, very grateful. Thank you. Thank you. I want to